Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, January 18th, 2021. It's Memorization Monday, a new verse for all of us to consider, to think about, to ponder, to maybe find points of application into our lives. And this is a real special one. It's Hebrews 11:6 on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And so I'll have some comments about him in just a minute, because actually he used this verse to come up with a quote that I'll cover in just a few minutes. But today we're going to be looking at Hebrews 11:6, which says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Oh, it's such a great verse. And the possibilities that we can please God, and the importance of coming to him and believing that he exists. And then if we do that, he'll reward those who earnestly seek him. So I hope you'll want to be like me and earnestly seek him this day, this week, this month, this new year. So joining me in the studio, I have some wonderful, great friends I've known for, let me first introduce them. You know I have that tendency where I'll talk about them for about 10 minutes and then never formally introduce them. But to my far right is Jim Miller, who formerly served on our radio board and has been active and involved in this radio ministry for many, many years. To his right is his number two son, but you could say number one son, right? Right, Peter? Peter Miller, who's from the Springfield area. He's a doctor. He's a physician there in Springfield. So maybe some of you, you've been his patient. And then to his right is his mom, the wife of Jim Miller, Nancy Miller, who serves on our board, godly woman. You might be familiar with her voice from the various scripture that she shares over the year. And in fact, she helped fold and insert and put the end of year mailing together. So for those of you that donated to us throughout 2020, her hands were on many of those envelopes, putting the stamps on and assisting in various ways. Well, I have him in the studio because I was looking for a special guest to talk about Hebrews 11:6 and also needed some friends to come and encourage me and be a part of things. So thank you, Jim. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
We're glad to be here with you.
Oh, and by the way, that song that you heard, Read Your Bible, that's the song that we always play on Mondays now as we look at Scripture and we talk about how unique God, with his inspired word, can challenge us, can fortify us, can train us, can touch our lives. It's that love letter to us, yet it's also the instruction manual. It helps us live God-honoring lives. It helps that fragrance of Christ to be evident in our lives so we can touch a hurting world, and so that's what we want to be about today. So we're going to have a special reading in a few minutes about Hebrews 11:6. But on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I found it very interesting. I have five quotes that I'm going to read from him, but one of these quotes has to do with our very passage. So God just worked it out that Hebrews 11:6 was on this very day that we honored the memory of Martin Luther King Jr. But he had five categories that he was most often, people quoted him, and it was that faith matters, truth matters, hatred is never the answer, loving our neighbors is essential, and justice matters. And under faith matters, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about this Hebrews 11:6 passage, and his quote was, "Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. You just take the first step." And that's somewhat dealing with this Hebrews 11:6. And then truth matters. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. And then as he talked about, hatred is never the answer. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. These are quotes by Martin Luther King Jr. And then loving our neighbor is essential. If we are to have peace on earth, our loyalties must become ecumenical rather than sectional. Our loyalties must transcend our race, our tribe, our class, and our nation, and this means we must develop a world perspective. And then when it came to justice matters, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And that's Martin Luther King Jr. And as we celebrate the memory of him on this day, that many of you maybe have the day off, these are good things to remember. He did follow the Lord Jesus Christ and was an active agent to bring about justice and to raise awareness of racism, and was used of God in a variety of ways. So we're thankful that his life and legacy helped many people come to terms with what is the right thing to do and how to be just and loving and kind. And then this faith matters. Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And that's a little bit with what we're going to be looking at today with Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm going to just stop there. I don't know if Jim and Nancy, you want to comment, but isn't it interesting that this verse basically implies there are ways we can please God? And it seems to be one of the ways to please God is to have faith in him. Now, I know all three of you are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but what do you think about having faith in God? How have you seen that realized in your life? You believe in this sovereign entity that created the universe. Can he be known? Is there a way to please him with your faith as small as a mustard seed or a faith that can move mountains? What do you think, Jim?
Oh, wow. You know, we all read that verse, and it just makes so much sense. It seems like it's just so obvious that you have to have faith to please God. But one of the things that I was thinking about earlier, Nancy and I have been reading through 1 Kings, and we're reading about how Solomon did all these wonderful things. And on the day that they dedicated the temple, it said that Solomon sacrificed like 20,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. And the first thought that goes through my mind is, that's ridiculous. That can't be. How could that be? That's just way too much. But then that's a small example of some of the amazing things that God did in the Bible. Parting the Red Sea, flooding the earth with a worldwide flood, allowing the Israelites to cross the Jordan on dry ground. It's just like God throws in a lot of things like that that in our minds seems impossible. We cannot fathom. We cannot possibly understand how God could do it. And yet, it's clearly written that he did those things. And I think that to believe, even when we can't understand, when we can't fathom, is really important. And it causes us to be humbled. And it causes us to give up some of our pride. And when we are humble before God, he is pleased. When we are not proud, you know, when we take down our pride, he is pleased. So that was just a thought that came to my mind as I was reading through that.
Yeah, I think of the words of Jesus when he talks about to the disciples and the listeners about the faith of a child and how many of us have to have that childlike faith, that faith of innocence, that faith of, I don't understand everything, but I believe in God and his sovereignty, that he's a good God, that he cares for me. But having that childlike faith, it's a unique thing. One of our board members, Dr. David Dunn, I always appreciate. He has a very simplistic, he's very bright, intelligent, he's a doctor, but he has a very innocent love. Yeah, Peter Miller here, who is a doctor, he's, you know, smiling, but he's brilliant, and yet he has this very childlike faith. He calls like Daddy God, that Abba Father that Jesus told us. That's the way that we should go before the Father, just as children. We don't understand how our dad goes to work. You know, I'm speaking if I was a little child. He goes to work, and I don't know all the complexities of the job and the income and all that he has to do to put food on the table. I just know that he does, and I have that very innocent, maybe naive understanding. And Jesus said, and to some degree, that we should have that with God. We should just wholeheartedly trust in him.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, Nancy, you've had a faith journey for many, many years, and you've had parents that followed the Lord. Did you always have a childlike faith, knowing that God existed, that he was behind the universe, and that he could be trusted?
Well, I think I grew up that way. Went to church and Sunday school probably every week of my life. So I had a basic good foundation. But there was a time in my high school years that I found out that it's more than just inheriting it and being born into it or mental assent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a real surrender of your life to the Lord, a personal relationship. And it can make all the difference in your outlook and your life.
Yeah, and that mental assent, for somebody maybe not familiar with our Christian terms, or what does that mean? That means like the intellectual understanding, the exception, the mm-hmm. knowledge that God is God, Jesus is the Lord and Savior.
Right. They might have a whole knowledge of this story from the Bible and that story from the Bible, but really surrendering your life to Him, giving control of your life to Him rather than think, well, I've got to figure it all out myself. But yeah, I think a surrender, humbleness makes a lot of difference.
And I think whenever I hear intellectual assent, there's that one passage, maybe one of you guys can share it, guys or gals. Even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So it's not just
right.
the understanding, the knowledge, because even the demons believe that Jesus is God's Son. But it's beyond that. It's accepting Him as your personal Savior, knowing that His shed blood on the cross was the means or the mechanism, the plan that God had for us to become His disciples, to become saved.
Well, right. And another word that might have something to do with this would be control. You know, who do you allow to be in control of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Is it yourself and your own ideas, or do you allow God to control? You know, you can learn a lot about what He wants you to do through His word and obedience. Oh, that's a good one, too.
Mm.
You know, if we love Him, we want to obey Him, and it just only makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can tell, dear listener, that these are close, dear, dear friends of mine. In fact, we're broadcasting from the home studio, and Jim and Nancy Miller, what, it was from that first trip to Israel that we bonded and got to know each other. How many years ago was that?
March 2000.
So 21?
Going on 21
going
years.
Going on 21 years. And as I mentioned...
And he still likes us.
Yeah, we still all get along. And Peter Miller's been on a trip, one trip to Israel?
Two
trips to Israel. But it's kind of fun being here at the home studio. You can't picture or understand all the complexities of what's going on behind the scenes. But at some point, if you hear the dryer buzzer, that's in the room next to us. So there's laundry being done. Outside the window here, our 8 chickens and 1 guinea have showed up a few times. Peter's gotten up one time already and fed them these little mealworms out the window, and they might peck on the window. So if you hear a clucking or a chirp or two, you'll know they're back. And then at the doorway sits our golden retriever of almost 12 years. So he's entered his 80 man years, and he's a favorite of all of us. And whenever we've gone on vacation or something, he's either ended up at the Miller's house for that week or those 4 days, or they've come and stayed at the country home. And you know, that's been a few years since you've stayed over here when we've been gone. But we appreciate how God has used all of you in both Holly and my life, the life of certainly Esther, and then all the different ways you've volunteered and assisted this radio ministry. So kudos to the Miller clan. And as mentioned, if you find yourself in the hospital in Springfield, Dr. Peter Miller, who I've seen grow up since, well, let's see, 20 years ago.
Since I was 15.
Since he is 15. By the way, ladies, single, handsome, available. I don't say you have to be tall, but you're 6'7"? 6'7", and pretty good at basketball, athletic, a hard worker. But eligible, you live in Springfield, who knows? So I'll get in trouble for that. But anyways.
Very humble, too.
Yeah, very, very, very humble. Well, today we're going to look at and have a reading from 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. And then we'll talk a little about it. But Nancy, how about reading the verses, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must first believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him."
Okay, now if you're following in this book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart, it says it this way, Hebrews 11, verse 6. "Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him." Hebrews 11, 6. Now, the story that goes along with that in this book is this. Many years ago, we had a tragedy in our church. Three people were slain, and we had a triple funeral. All three caskets lined up in front of the stage. It was a horrendous week, and by Sunday night, I didn't have anything left in my heart to say. So when time came for the evening sermon, I simply opened to Hebrews 11 and read it, all 40 verses. Then I closed my Bible, pronounced the benediction, and sent everyone home. I was surprised by the impact. People were deeply moved, openly weeping. One man who was sobbing as he left told me he'd never known such power was contained in this chapter. The theme of the book of Hebrews is perseverance. It was written to a group of Jewish Christians who were encountering opposition, and the writer was worried that some would give up on the gospel. In chapter 10, he reminds them of previous days when they had been publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, from verse 33, and some had incurred the confiscation of their possessions, verse 34. He warns them not to throw away their confidence, in verse 35, but to exercise endurance, in verse 36. That brings us to chapter 11, in which he holds up the great persevering heroes of the Old Testament. This is called the faith chapter of the Bible, the Westminster Abbey of Scripture, and faith's Hall of Fame. The chapter begins by giving us the Bible's classic definition of faith in verse 1. Now, faith is the reality of things hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. And according to verse 6, without this kind of faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Here are four reasons faith is necessary for pleasing God. Number one, faith brings salvation to our lives. As we've seen in previous verses, we are saved by grace through faith. Number two, faith brings motivation to our work. The main theme of Hebrews 11 is that faith leads us to do things for God we would never otherwise do. It motivates us, fuels, and drives our labor. The very next verse, verse 7, tells how Noah, by faith, built an ark to save his family. Number three, faith brings rest to our souls. When we're tempted to fret and fear, we discover that God has given us multiple promises and assurances for every contingency in life. And number four, faith brings excitement to our future. We look forward by faith to a city whose builder and maker is God, verses 10 and 16. So there's a quote here by C.H. McIntosh. He said, "Faith glorifies God exceedingly because it proves that we have more confidence in His eyesight than in our own." That was by C.H. McIntosh. So once again, as it's the translation that is mentioned in this book is Hebrews 11:6, which says, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him."
I think it's just such a great verse. And I was doing a study. I think I brought this up last week, that there's a few other places, I think a half a dozen throughout the Bible, that talk about ways or means that we can bring pleasure to God or that we can please God. And I would think for most of our listeners, that would be one of the things we'd want to be about. If I knew doing such and such would bring pleasure to God, hey, I want to be a part of that. Or, you know, if God says, hey, if you memorize Scripture, I'm going to be really happy about that. Well, then I'm going to memorize Scripture. And I think, you know, this verse 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Again, like I said at the beginning, that means by having faith, You know, I don't know if God gets encouraged or he's like, oh, way to go, Peter, way to go, Nancy, way to go, Jim. You know, what exactly brings delight to him, but he wants us to know him. He wants us to come before him. He wants us to call on him, because then it goes on, because anyone who comes to him, so that's his ultimate goal, that we come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, but anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so, I don't know, I want to be a part of that camp of people that pursue God, that want to know him, because he'll reward us, he'll encourage us, he'll bless us. Peter, I know you've had a faith journey for many years, a couple trips to Israel. I know you've been in youth groups and have had a heart for the Lord. I've seen you, like you said, from about 15 on. I guess you're no longer a young man, but you're a man that's serving the Lord. You even look at your position in the hospitals and in the clinics, and, you know, as God's gifted you with these abilities. In the brief minute or two that we have left, how have you seen your faith rewarded? How have you seen God bring peace or comfort as you've trusted in him?
The easiest way to relate to this would be in relation to everything that's gone on over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so much fear and terror throughout the world, in the medical community as well, seen it among various people. And part of having faith is also realizing that you need to trust, and trusting that God is good and that he has your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Now, whether that means that you come through this time period completely unscathed, that's different than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they trusted God and they had faith in him. And I think faith is always going to be a growing process. We don't mm-hmm. obviously start at the pinnacle, but it's something that gradually expands over time. And I think that with all the things that we've seen this past year, you know, if nothing else, it's helped me to stop relying on myself as much and mm-hmm. just realizing this is all beyond whatever I can control, whatever can be controlled in the medical community. And we have to trust that God is good and that he has our best interest. And even if bad things happen to us or those around us, that in the end, it's all going to be for the best.
We're going to give the doctor the last word. Well, thank you, Peter Miller, Jim Miller, Nancy Miller, being friends, being supporters of this ministry, serving on our board, and assisting in so many different ways. The verse for the day, the week, maybe for your life, Hebrews 11:6 states, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Join me today. Let's earnestly seek him together. Allow him to work in and through us, bringing healing and hope in this hurting world. And as you trust and draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Jim, Nancy, and Peter Miller with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.